The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
A few words about the practice. One of the interesting issues around attention, mindfulness, what we notice in our lives, is the selective nature of attention. That there's so many different things we could pay attention to in any given moment that actually our life would probably come to a standstill if we tried to pay attention to it all or try to figure out what we need to pay attention to. There's a certain degree of habit or learned behavior that we do that helps us find our way efficiently and in a practical way. So, for example, like most of you now figured out that you're listening to my voice and what I'm saying, so your considerable capacity for attention is directed here, but there's a lot of things you're leaving out. Like probably most of you at this moment are probably not thinking about your little toe and what's happening there. Probably most of you are not thinking about and focusing on the grayness of the chairs we have here at IMC. There's a lot you can notice if you were interested. And one of the things that affects what we listen to, what we pay attention to, what we look at, we pick out of the environment has to do with what we think is important. It has to do with our values, has to do with our concerns, has to do with a variety of ways life experience has conditioned us to focus on some things rather than other things because they're considered important or useful. And sometimes, you know, we've had trouble in our life, and so that conditions what we tend to pay attention to in the future. And we're hypervigilant sometimes around certain areas because, you know, certain experiences we've had. Some of them are learned from our family, our upbringing, our culture, that, you know, we're selective. What do we pay attention to? Also, our interests, our desires come into play. So if you come here to IMC and your desire, your wish is to have a comfortable chair for your home, you might be kind of testing out the chair and wondering if this chair is the right one. But if you don't need the chairs at your home, that's not a concern of yours when you notice what the chairs are. Or if you're interested in a mate, then you're kind of like part of you is scanning the room. You know, could that person be a good mate? Does that person have a wedding ring on? You know, and so, you know, there's certain, but you come to a certain age or something and the mating instinct is maybe not quite as strong. And so rather than noticing who's going to be a good mate, you might notice some other quality of people. That because of our interests, our concerns, our desires, a variety of things that go into play. So generally, or most of the time, our attention is selective, and it's selective based on our interests, our what we think is important, our values and stuff. And so one of the great pieces of wisdom to carry around with you in your life is to know that attention is selective, to know that it's limited by what we think is important or by our conditioning. And if you know that, it gives you the opportunity to do something that you wouldn't do probably if you didn't know that. And that is to be curious about what's on the other side, outside of your particular bubble of awareness, outside of what you're interested in, your conditioning. And simply being interested and curious about that, then you can figure out, maybe can I stretch my attention? Can I open my attention wider? What am I leaving out? What am I missing here that might be useful to pay attention to? I don't think the grayness of these chairs is a particular important thing for you to pay attention to today, but there might be other things to notice while you're here. Some people, for example, their selective process of attention is mostly me, myself, and mine. What's in it for me? How am I going to be safe? And I just got to do my important practice. Other people's selective attention is one of, who are these people? Or I'm in a group of people, and how do I harmonize with a group of people? Or how do we live here together? How do I support these people? How do I make it, you know, support them and what they're doing here? So it's two different ways of directing one's attention. One might be personal only. One might be interpersonal, maybe only. Or it might be that both. So each of us has our selective process. Knowing that, we can ask the question, or we can be curious, what am I leaving out? What am I leaving out that's important? Am I only noticing myself? If I only notice myself, is it some value in opening up more widely? I'm only noticing the people around me, would it be useful to become more aware of myself? If you notice that your most of your attention only goes into your thoughts and your ideas, then opening it up, noticing that, you say, well, what about the rest of me? What about my body? What about my emotions, my feelings? What's happening there? And so this idea of stretching or opening the attention out beyond where it usually goes is one possibility of this mindfulness practice. One of the things that helps this process is what's called a not knowing mind, to not necessarily know what's happening. If you know, then you're already selective. But if you kind of open up, I don't really know, let me look around more and find out what's going on, and have this curiosity, this openness to something else, it helps quite a bit. One of the interesting aspects of this question of what's outside my selective attention, what else am I missing here, is that it generally helps put you in the present moment. Because what's your attention, what's outside what you're focusing on, generally that's kind of what's happening here and now, as opposed to what's happening outside my attention back there in Menlo Park. You know, that's not so interesting. It's just more thinking. But it helps you kind of enter into the present moment more, this question, what am I leaving out? What more can I include? Or, you know, what's outside the selective range that I'm paying attention to? And final thing to say about this kind of practice, I believe that it works best, or it's most supportive for mindfulness meditation, mindfulness practice, if it helps the mind become still, or quiet, or calm. So, or a way of opening up is not to do it with a lot of contemplation, thinking, a lot of, you know, analysis, but rather to open up in a way the mind is really quiet and still, kind of open and still. What else is here? And see what comes. Diffuse, open awareness of what's here. Kind of maybe like, this is how it is, I experience it. If I'm going to listen to a very faint sound far in the distance, I might even close my eyes and I let my mind become really still to see if I can hear that. So is there a way of kind of becoming still and quiet and then taking in what else is going on here? Can I have a fuller awareness? What is just outside of my own particular selective process of attention? So if that makes sense, you might experiment with that this morning and see if that's an interesting approach to angle on the practice. And thank you.